Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Happy Saturday, and thank you so much for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. This is Indy's Real Estate Gurus, and I'm Rick Rickma, your hard-working mortgage guy at Advisors Mortgage Group. You can contact me at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And you know, many young people today are thinking about buying a home. In fact, it's the biggest group of home buyers in quite some time coming up as they hit the age 33 to start buying homes, the average age. And so I want to talk about the advantages and disadvantages of owning a home, because I remember, now this has been a few years ago, when I was buying my first home, and I remember the driving forces. I remember my wife and I just driving around and looking at houses and dreaming about being in a house and out of the apartment. And then once you do it, nobody ever warned me of the disadvantages of owning a home, and there are disadvantages. Now, I think that the advantages far outweigh the disadvantages, but you have to understand the disadvantages, because there may be people who the disadvantages do actually outweigh the advantages of owning a home. So you want to understand those and make sure that the advantages are going to be, you know, enough to make it worth your while to buy a home. So let's talk about that, and let's get into those advantages. The first advantage is, as most people would tell you, they believe it's a good long-term investment. Now that's one of those things that, you know, you can argue, but for the most part, especially in this market, especially what we've seen in the last few years, the investment in a home has been phenomenal. I'm going to give you an example. This is just a piece of the example, or piece of what you can look at. Now, this is an actual customer of mine, and this is about building the equity in the house. And this customer, they bought the home a couple of years ago, and they paid about $237,000 for it. And I think it was a month ago they sold the house for $256,000. The equity they took away from the house, which is the equity is built by your down payment, what they put down originally, the appreciation of the house, the principal payment. So as you make a mortgage payment, you pay principal and interest. The principal payment goes against the balance of the mortgage, so it keeps coming down. So in a couple of years, in this case, that would pay down the mortgage about $7,000. And so as you do that, that means you've lowered or you've made your balance lower. So when you sell the house, you that money that you get back, you collect more money. So they sold it for $256,000. After commissions, real estate commissions, they sold it through a real estate agent, and seller's fees, the fees they had to pay to close on the home, they walked away with about $34,000. And that's a lot of money, obviously, $34,000. It's a, you know, if they went to a $340,000 house, that's a 10% down payment. But in contrast to that, I went back and I looked at what they paid in rent 2 years ago. And so if they had, and this is only a 2 year period, think about how much bigger it'd be if you were 5 years. But in that 2 year period, based on the rent they were paying and no increase in the rent, I didn't even do an increase, which we know rents have increased, they would have paid $30,000 in rent. Now, $30,000 in rent, and they wouldn't have anything to show for that. And now they have $34,000 to put towards the next house. So yes, did it cost them a little bit more to get into the home? Absolutely, it did. But they're by my numbers, they're about $64,000 ahead by buying a house over renting. So it is a pretty significant difference and a pretty darn good long-term investment. And that's not even, I mean, this is now houses have started going up, but you know, we've had some pretty good increases, but the increases seem to be getting better and better. So that's just one example of what you can do, the kind of investment you can have by buying a home and then, you know, building the equity in that home. And building the equity, I want to talk a little bit more about that. What is the equity? The equity actually is, you know, what you owe in the home. So what you owe compared to what you sell the home for. And in my opinion, you take out the expense of selling the home. So if you owe $100,000 and you you sold it for $150,000 and you had $7,000 in expenses, you would make $140,000 or you'd make $43,000. That's what the equity would be. And you can take that money and move it to the next home. You can do with it as you please. It's your money. As long as you sell the home. And that's something that's really happening today. We have huge, huge numbers of investment, huge equity building because the increase in home values has been so high. Another benefit, and this has gone away for some people, not for everybody, but there is a tax benefit for some people and for many people for the interest deduction on your mortgage. You just have to have more deductions than what you get in the flat deduction, but there can be some deductions on the interest. You can deduct sometimes your property taxes that you pay, the closing costs. Some of the closing costs may be tax deductible when you buy a home. So there are things that can benefit you in a tax related. And when you look at that, you want to look at that compared to your renting, which you get a little bit on your state, but you don't on your federal, you don't really get anything. So you want to look at that comparative to see, you know, whether that's an additional benefit that you'd be looking at for, you know, by buying a house and owning a home. Another thing, and this was a huge one for my wife and I, it's one of the reasons that we would go out looking at houses. We lived in an apartment that they were very, very noisy below us. And they were, we had two little kids, a fairly newborn and one that was 3 years old. And they were noisy at night. They were just very, very noisy people. And they would wake the kids up. And if anybody's had small kids, you know, that's a terrible thing. You don't want that to happen. The rest of the people around us weren't too bad. And even the people trying to be quiet. We lived on the top floor. The people next to us, they were very quiet. But even they, you know, obviously you'd hear things, and the people below us, you'd hear everything. They were very, very loud. So we wanted more privacy. But it's not only the noise. It's you know, you go sit on your back patio and you've got 50 other people sitting in their back, you know, right there looking at you. It's just not as private in an apartment complex as it is in a home. So when we moved out of that apartment complex, we moved into more of a condo area, and it was much better, but it was like a double. So they were just side by side condos two units connected. And that was much better, but it was still noisy. The people next to us weren't anywhere near as noisy as the people that had been below us, but they were still noisy, still had issues. You came home, everybody sees you coming home. Everybody sees you leaving. It's just not as private. So it really does make a big difference. And then a lot of times, you know, the garage, for me, I'm a big car guy. So having a garage, that to me is privacy. It also keeps my car safe, and I like a garage. So those are those type of things is what motivated at least my wife and I to get out there and look at houses and buy our first home. Another piece is rents tend to continue to go up. And so the pricing, your monthly payment is not stable. If you do a fixed rate mortgage, your principal and interest piece of the mortgage will be stable. The taxes and insurance will not necessarily be stable. The taxes can go up or down. The mortgage the homeowner's insurance can go up and down. But your principal and interest, your base payment stays pretty much the same. Taxes and insurance don't tend to go up that much or down that much, so mostly up, but they don't tend to move that much. I've been in my house now for 30-something years, and my taxes have gone from $2,400 to $3,200. So you can see they just haven't gone up much in 30 years. So it does tend to keep your payment very, very similar, very stable. And then if the rates happen to drop, you can always refinance and get a lower rate. But it does give you that stability of mortgage payment, which I think is a really positive and an important thing to do. Stay tuned. After the break, we'll dive deeper into the disadvantages of owning a home.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now, back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. I hope you're having a great weekend. We've been talking about the advantages and disadvantages of owning a home. Actually, we only talked about the advantages, and we're going to talk about one more advantage before we get into the disadvantages. The last advantage, or maybe not the last, but one of the last advantages is the stability. And this is different than the stability of monthly payment. This is the stability it gives you. People who buy a home, people who own a home, tend to stay in that home longer than they do if they rent. If for no other reason, it's easier than buying, selling, and moving. So people, which is a difficult process, so people tend to stay. And it does give stability. People, when they're hiring, will look at that. Somebody who is living in a home, owning a home, sometimes they look at that when you're being hired. But that does make a difference. Even on loans, people will look at that. It just adds a little bit of stability, means something to people. So it is one of those things, and it gives you a little stability. It gives you where you're going. Where you are, and that's where you live, and you've established those roots, and that's an important thing. So we're going to move on to the disadvantages, but before we do,
now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
You know, Terry emailed me with a great question. He is a first-time home buyer, and he wanted to know how much down payment he needed to qualify for a home. And he also wanted to know how a larger down payment would benefit him. So he wanted to know how much down payment he needed, and he wanted to know whether a larger down payment would benefit him. And this is a fairly complicated question in some ways, because it depends on the program, it depends on the interest rates, it depends on credit scores, it depends on a lot of things. So I'm going to give kind of the basics here to answer this question. First, if it's an FHA, an FHA requires 3.5% down, and a conventional requires either 3 or 5% down minimum. These are minimums, you can put more down. FHA is a little easier if the credit scores are lower. Their mortgage insurance, things like that, is less expensive. They give a little better rate. They don't hurt you as much if your credit scores are low. Conventional is a little, obviously, better if you have high credit scores. They give you some advantage on your mortgage insurance, and they give you an advantage on interest rate. So that's kind of the advantage and disadvantage. And again, it does depend. And that VA, you know, is a whole nother bird, but VA, it's a great program if you're a veteran. And it's a zero down program. So obviously, if you don't have any money down, and putting money down on a VA doesn't help you any. On FHA, 3.5% down, if you put 5% down, you get a little bit of advantage on their upfront mortgage their monthly mortgage insurance. So you get a little advantage if you put a little more down. And then on conventional, of course, the mortgage insurance is lowers as you put more money down. So at 3%, it's going to be the highest. At 5% down, it's going to be a little lower. At 10% down, it drops pretty decently. 15% down, it's a little lower. And at 20% down, then you don't have mortgage insurance. So those are the benefits of that. And that's on a conventional mortgage. FHA, you always have mortgage insurance. But once you put 5% down, it's the lowest the monthly mortgage insurance is going to be. But again, it just depends on your credit scores. And the best thing to do is talk to me. We talk about it. We have to look at it. See what's going to be your best option. And how that's going to benefit you, and we can run all the numbers. We can see what mortgage program is going to be best, and get you that information so you can make that decision. So that you know you're getting the correct mortgage for you. And all you have to do is go online to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com, and then we can go through the information, and we can. I can help you kind of see the benefits and the advantages and disadvantages of the different options, so you can make that decision to make it so you feel comfortable with it. Because to me, that's really important that you understand it, and you feel comfortable with it, and that you know that the decision you're making is the right decision for you. But let's move on to the disadvantages of owning a home. And, you know, are there disadvantages to owning a home? Yes, there are. One is the high upfront cost. Obviously, to move into an apartment, you might have to pay 1 month security deposit. You may get some renter's insurance and have to pay for that. But and you pay for your movers. And that's pretty much it. Then it's not necessarily a lot of money. Some are more than others, but all in all, it's not all that expensive. When you're buying a home, you have to have your down payment. So you have to have the down payment, unless you qualify for like a VA or a USDA loan. You have to have the down payment. So 3.5%, 5%, 10%, whatever it is, so that you have that cost. You have closing costs. You have your prepaid taxes and homeowners insurance. So when you close on a home, if you've never done this before, when you close on a home, we have to collect 12 months of homeowners insurance. You have to have it one year paid. So you're collected at closing, or you've prepaid it. So you pay 1 month of your homeowners insurance, and then we collect a couple months of homeowners insurance to have into escrow so that we can pay it when it comes due the next year. And we do that for both homeowners insurance and property taxes. So on property taxes, depending on when you're closing, we have to collect that money to put it into escrow to pay it when it comes due. In Indiana, we pay property taxes on May 10th and November 10th. So depending on the month, if you closed in, well, let's say next month, somebody closes in November, we're going to collect 4 months of property taxes as long as the November 10th property taxes have already been paid, so that we have enough that when it's due in May, we have enough to pay it when it's due in May. So, but that's money that you have to come up with. If you have mortgage insurance, we're going to collect a couple months of mortgage insurance to put into escrow. So we have that. One, you skip one monthly payment, and two, because your payment's not actually due till after it's due on the 1st. It's not late till after the 15th, and we're going to need to collect enough money to pay it if you haven't paid us in time, so we can pay the mortgage insurance. So that's why that's collected. So the upfront costs, can be pretty expensive. Now, along with what we've already talked about, if you're going to have an inspection, that inspection is going to cost you money too, and that can be, you know, $400, $500, $600, $700, depending on the house, depending on what type of inspection you have. You could do that, have the inspection, find something on the house that you aren't happy with, end up not buying the house, but you're already out that money. So there are some costs in buying a home that you just have to be aware of, and you have to be ready for, and you have to be know that they're there, so it's not a surprise if something like that happens. Now, the next one is less mobility, and this is a big one. My son years ago called me, and this was in a time, it was probably back in 2007, 2008, maybe 2009. In that time, homes weren't appreciating that well, and he was living in Kentucky, outside of Cincinnati, and they lived in an apartment. They were thinking about buying a home, but they did not want to stay in that area. They wanted to move back to Indianapolis and to this area. So they knew they weren't going to stay there very long. And so they asked me, should we buy a home down here? And I told them, my opinion is no. It takes a while for appreciation to grow. You have some expenses when you sell the house, and you have to live in that house long enough to make it make sense, based on the cost and what it's going to be for you. Now, if you found a house that had some work that needed to be done, you were great at doing work, you could buy the house, do this work, and increase the value because of the work that you did, that's a different story. My family is not that way. We have no ability to fix anything, so that we have to have somebody fix it. So that wouldn't be something for us. So it is important, though, that you look at that. But for the most part, It's if you're not going to live here very, very long, if you're not going to live in that area and you're not going to make it a rental property, then I would suggest that you don't buy a home. It also, along with that, makes you much less mobile. So because now you have a house that you own a house, and all of a sudden you're given a job, you find a job and you're halfway across the country, you have to sell your house. In this market, that's not a big deal. because homes are selling very, very quickly. So this market, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But if at some point, the market's going to slow down. So if you get into the point where the market slowed down, that could be a big deal. It could take 60, 90, 120 days to sell the home, and that could be a problem. So if you need the mobility, if you need to be able, the flexibility to move, you know, your life isn't settled to where you think it is. You aren't comfortable that's where it's going to be. I'd recommend, you know, seriously considering not buying a home and continue to rent, because it is, you do, if you need that mobility, owning a home can really dampen that. Maintenance cost. You know, this is something that I think a lot of people don't actually take into account, or if they do, and I say that because I didn't really take it into account. And the little I did take into account, it ended up being much more than I expected. Homes cost money to maintain. It's, if you're living in them short term, you may not have that issue, but roofs wear out. I just had my roof replaced 2 years ago, and it was $15,000 to replace the roof. Your heaters and air conditioners, they wear out. I've talked to several people recently. They've spent $8,000-$9,000 replacing their heating and air conditioning system. The siding, you know, the paint wears out. If you have some of the old siding, the siding wears out. You got to replace siding. Everything on the house requires maintenance. So, you know, you can do it yourself, but even that costs money, even painting inside. So just know that there's a maintenance cost to it. Set money aside so that you can afford it when it comes up. And just know that that is an expense that you're going to have on a home. It's for the most part, unless you are very unlucky, it's more than outweighed with the appreciation of the house and what you save there or make there. But it's just something that you really should consider is the maintenance cost, and try to make sure when you consider that cost that you do it as accurately as possible. Most people tend to underestimate it. I wouldn't want to overestimate it either, but you want to be as accurate as possible. It's kind of what I tell people with an appraisal. We don't want a high appraisal. We don't want a low appraisal. We want an accurate appraisal. You know, sometimes I'll get somebody tell me, hey, you know, we're going to do this conservatively. I don't want a conservative appraisal. I want an accurate appraisal. And that's the same thing you want to do here. You want accuracy here so that you're making your decision intelligently and with the right information. Another piece of this is equity does not grow immediately, and we've kind of talked about that. So even at a 4% appreciation, which would be on a $100,000 house, is $4,000 a year. If it takes you, if you have it for 2 years, it's grown by $8,000. If you have a 6% commission when you go to sell the house, most of the equity that you got in 2 years is eaten up. So you really want to make sure you're going to be there long enough to take advantage of that increase, and that you're actually going to make money on the house. And it's not just what you make, because you do save money. You know, you spend a lot of money on rent, you know, so if you compare it, there is some additional money there that you spent that you wouldn't when you have a house. So it isn't completely that way, but you just have to look at it and know that if you're thinking about moving, you know, in a short term, then that can be an issue, and you really want to, you know, you really want to consider that, make sure that you're making the right decision. Now, this one, I mean, today it's not even a consideration for most people, but you do have to understand that property values can fall. Property values do not go up 100% of the time consistently and always go up. It's just not the way it is. We have had times in our economy where the property values fell. Right now, that's not in the foreseeable future. Property values have been going up. Based on everything that we see, it looks like it's going to continue based on the birth rate, which I talked about in another show. You know, the big amount of people hitting 33, that's the average point when people buy homes. So home sales look like they're going to stay up and be high. So it's not an issue maybe for the next 4 or 5 years, but at some point it could be an issue. And it could be an issue in certain locations. That's the other thing. Where you buy matters. So you want to make sure that you're buying in an area that has the best appreciation or has the appreciation that you need to get you, you know, to when you decide you want to sell the home, that you're going to be able to sell it and get out of it and move on. And it'd be a pretty easy, you know, situation for you. There's another piece of the liquidity issue. So, you know, you can have, liquidity can make a difference. So you want to consider the liquidity. And what I mean by the liquidity of this is that it's not easy to get to the money, the equity in the house. So if you have a home and you lose your job and you need money and you have a bunch of equity in your house, it's not easy to get to that equity in the house. If you've lost your job, you can't go get another mortgage. So if you think something like that can happen, you want to talk to me. We want to talk about it because we can make some plans around that to get you in a situation where that, you know, that you're hopefully protected against that. So it is one of those things that you should consider. So if you want to talk about that one, or any of these, just let me know. Just go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Again, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And we can talk about your situation and we can see what we can do. Now, you know, we've talked about the advantages and disadvantages of owning a home, but there's also advantages and disadvantages of renting. Some of them are the same. We've talked about some of them, but I'm just going to go over them real quickly. Obviously, an advantage of owning over renting is you have privacy. The disadvantage, you have a long-term commitment. So if privacy is more important than the long-term commitment, renting or owning might be a good idea. Usually it's a good investment, but you do have the maintenance and repair costs when you're owning, which you don't have when you're renting. And when you're renting, you just pick up the phone, call somebody, and they come fix it. Another advantage of homeownership is your more stable housing costs from year to year. You have a pride in ownership and a strong community ties. So it does make a difference to have that. It's why people, sometimes you'll find communities that will not allow renters in the community or limit that, because they don't, people who are renting their homes don't tend to take care of the property the same as somebody who owns it. Now, renting, your advantages are short-term commitment, and you have no or minimal maintenance and repair costs. So, there's advantages both ways. For most people, the advantages of owning way outweigh the advantages of renting, and so many people, it's the best thing to do. But if you have any questions, you want to talk about any of this, please go online to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And you can email me, call me, you can go put your information in there and it'll let me know, and I'll get back with you as quick as I can. We can talk about it. Thank you so much for joining me on this great Saturday. And please join me next week as I discuss the important mortgage terms that you should know if you're looking at having a mortgage or if you have a mortgage.